This is part two of our communication thing. Whereas last month we saw communication involves first listening. Part two now is, you guys all got the outline? I've emailed it out, okay? It's gonna be on enjoy communication with your spouse, okay? If Rebecca, Abigail, Hannah, and all the little ones, you guys could just also be a little bit quiet, okay? So this is not the time to preach, okay? Little ones, okay? So here today we're gonna be talking about enjoying communication with your spouse, okay? Because I feel like when I do look at the world's thing about communication, it's often, you know, there's a lot of, like, to-do lists. But I think it's most important also is the heart, right? If you don't actually enjoy communicating with your spouse, then all the to-do list is going to be things you don't what? Do. Because it's eventually, you're like, you don't do because your heart is not in it, okay? Actually, I would even say the heart is most important. If your heart is right, then you could even give more suggestions. Add it to any books you read or any sermons you hear, okay? With your specific context. With the specific person that you're married with or in relationship with, okay? So in light of this, we're going to ask the question today is, how's your communication with your spouse since last month? Last month we focused on what? Listening. You guys remember that? When I passed out the instruction and, well, yeah, people didn't listen. But anyway, all of that, right? How's your communication with your spouse, and specifically, what I ask today is, do you enjoy communicating with your spouse? Like, there'll be difficult times. Sometimes it's hard to communicate. Sometimes there'll be disagreements. But in the end of the day, would you say you really enjoy communicating with your spouse? And I really hope the answer is yes, okay? I hope the answer is yes, because we're married. We're all too young to be at that point, okay? Hopefully never at that point, okay? Where in the end, even with all the difficulty, when it comes down to it, you really want to say, I do want to communicate with my spouse, okay? Today there's going to be 4 points. How many points?
Four,
okay? 4 points. We'll try to get through this quickly. Point number one. Today we're going to look at 4 points to help us communicate better today. Oh, I just cut and paste. Today we'll look at 4 points to help us communicate better by enjoying communicating with your spouse, okay? So we're going to be looking at enjoying communicating with your spouse, okay? By the way, her coat is adorable. So, 4 points. No, point number one, you must enjoy communicating with your spouse. Looking at, like, what this is an obligation, we have to, okay? Point number two is symptom of not enjoying discussion with your spouse. We're going to talk about, hey, what does it look like when it doesn't look like? I think some of us will say, yeah, I can see this, blah, 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 okay? Before all that, we're going to look at some of that, okay? Point number three is what to talk to your spouse about. Believe it or not, there's been times where people have asked me, more single guys, like, hey, Jimmy, you're married? What do you and your wife talk about? Like, do you just talk about church all day?
That's what Victor asked me all the time. So I say, hey, let's talk. She's like, what do you talk about?
Okay. Okay, so that's a real-life example that's recorded on sermon audio and remember for years and ages to come, okay?
Okay, you know.
For people from all over the different world, okay? So going back on with this, we're going to look at what to talk to your spouse about, okay? With that, and then point number four is assessing what you are talking to your spouse about. So the 4 point will be more interactive. We'll be asking questions. So if you guys wrote your name and last name and homeroom number and address and all of that, okay? So we will go through that fourth part next, okay? So let's go with the first part. Again, like I said, last time we looked at listening, which is foundational for good communication, but it doesn't stop there. I think the next step is also realize the heart is we should really love talking to your spouse, okay? We should love discussing things with your spouse. So that's point number one is looking at scripture. Does the Bible say anything about we must love talking to our spouse? I would say there's not a verse that says, husband, thou shalt love hearing your wife talk. There's no verse that says, wives, thou shalt enjoy what your husband talk about. Guns, I don't know, Marines, whatever things. There's no verses like that, okay? But I think there's verses we draw implication from that, okay? So with the first part, so we're going to look at three passages to see that there is this implication from Scripture that it's important that if you're married, husband and wives are to love each other, yes? And if you... Oh, by the way, don't write notes on the paper. The notes will be... The paper is for later, the, you know, questions.
Of course, okay? We'll write our names on it, right?
Yeah, but the only thing is your name, okay? And cell phone number and last four for your social security, okay? So let's go back with this. So there are some verses. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Philippians 2, 4, if I could have a happy, motivated volunteer Read me Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Any volunteer? Did I cut and paste the verses on the outline?
Yeah, that is.
Any volunteer? Read Philippians 2, 4.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others.
Okay. Okay. So here is a verse, okay, that mentions that there is a prohibition and a command here, right? The prohibition is we shouldn't merely look for our own personal interests, yes? That's true in general Christian life. It's not about me, myself, and I, right? The unholy trinity that the world today believes. It's all about me, myself, and I, right? That's a religion of what Beyonce or whatever, whoever's saying that, right? But here we see there's a prohibition of that. But there's a command also. But rather, the opposite is what? We look for the interests of what? We consider the interests of others. Thank you so much, right? And if our spouse is one we have the most utmost obligation, human relationship, the most utmost commitment towards in terms of another human commitment to another human being, it's to our spouse. How much more then should we also put the interests of our spouse first? And if that's the case, I think that also shapes the way we listen. That's also shaped the way we communicate. That also means, as implication, that when we communicate with each other, with our spouse, we also talk about what our spouse is what? Interested in talking about, okay? Is interested in talking about, okay? I'm a firm believer that sometimes people might need some help. Like, for instance, I talked about, like, the single guys that asked me, hey, so you and your wife are married, so what do you guys talk about? Do you guys just talk about church all day, or what do you guys talk about, right? Because they're interested, just with all that. Sometimes there might be a place for training wheels, okay? Sometimes, for men, sometimes some guys don't really like to talk much, right? You know what I'm talking about? Where they just like to just do the thing, but not necessarily to talk. So sometimes there might be a place of training wheels. It's like, what did I talk about? Let me get Jimmy's list of 10 things, right? But that's training wheels, okay? And then over time, it becomes more what? Natural. Does that make sense? But I think also as well for sisters, you know, if that's your husband, it's just being gracious and beginning from there, right? So there's places for training wheels. Anyone's teaching their kids riding their bikes yet? With training wheels? There's places for training wheels, okay? Yes, I know, Rebecca. That's with you, okay? So there's places for training wheels, okay? So point number one is we've seen Philippians 2:4 shows that there's a sense where we must, as implication, enjoy communicating with our spouse, okay? We put the interest of others what first, okay? Let's turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14, okay? If someone turned there, could I have somebody read that verse when you get there?
Oh, my dove, in the cleft of the rock. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cleft of the rock, in the cranians of the cliff. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely.
Okay, yeah, thank you for reading that. You're reading from NASB?
ESV.
ESV, okay. So, in this verse, by way of context, what is Song of Solomon about? Is two lovers, yes? A man and a woman, okay? In the context, here in this verse, who is speaking? It's actually the woman. By the way, in Song of Solomon, it is a discussion or discourse between a husband and a wife, okay? Well, actually, I think it's two lovers. They eventually do get married. They're interested in each other. They would get married later on. In the end of the book, you'll see that very clearly. I think it's actually the story of Solomon. Remember Solomon? There was a time he had how many women? How many wives?
700.
700 wives. And how many concubines?
300.
No, you're right, yes.
Yeah, 700 wives, 300 concubines, right? Like, that's a lot, okay? That's too many, okay? So, that's like, you see them one every 3.5 years. Like that, right? That's craziness, okay? But then I think why Song of Solomon was written is that afterward, he was interested in a girl, but that girl was not interested in him back. And then he looks at this relationship of this young woman who works in the field. She's not interested in Solomon, but will rather be interested in another guy. And of course, he's hurt And then therefore he writes this, the story about both. By the way, I think there's a sense where if you read it, I think Solomon shows up even before their wedding. Right? He comes with all his armed soldiers, everything else. But yet, this is married. And this is the point of all of that. Despite all the things he had, he realized this is the way God intended it. Okay. So when he writes this, in God's design of Song of Solomon, you see this is the woman speaking. The woman speaks more than the man. And notice here, she says what? That she's describing her lover, okay? She's describing her lover. And by the way, this is not Solomon, okay? He's dark in complexion. He's working the field, that kind of thing, okay? So, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 14. Notice she says what? She makes this request. Let me hear your what?
Voice,
okay? Then she describes his voice in what way? For your voice is what? Sweet, okay? Did she really believe it was sweet? Or did she think it's like those... what do you call it? Artificial sweetness, right? Like, no, she really believes it's really sweet, okay? But I also draw from the implication from this, is she delights in hearing him speak, okay? Hearing his voice, it could be anything, and what? She enjoys hearing him speak with his voice, but also enjoying him, what? Communicating and talking in general, okay? So we see from this verse, there's implication that we should enjoy our spouse's, communicating with our spouse, or hearing our spouse speak. Yes, okay, it should be, okay? Let's also turn with me, this is the larger one, Song of Solomon chapter 7. We're going to read the whole chapter. So we're going to go around, each person read one verse, beginning with Chris, because I know Chris always liked Bible verses about love, right? So we'll begin with Chris in Songs of Solomon chapter 7, verses 1, and we're going to go clockwise. So Chris, Nancy, Edward, Margaret, Sarah... On and on it goes, okay?
Chapter 7, verse 1. How beautiful your sandals feet, O princess daughter. Your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of a craftsman's hand.
Your navel is a branded goblet that never lets blended wine. Your waist is a mound of wheat encircled by lilies.
Your two breasts, are like two fawns, fins of a gazelle.
Are you blushing?
I was afraid I that might have been beast and I have a breast.
Okay. Okay.
It's okay. We're all adults here.
Yeah, you say that.
Okay, he's turning red, but okay, Margaret.
Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are the pools of Heshbon by the gate of Bethlehem. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, like looking towards Damascus.
Your head crowns you like Mount Carmel. Your hair is like oil of history. The king is not drafted by its
hair. How beautiful and how delightful you are, my love, with all your charms. Your stature is like a palm tree with crest and like its clusters.
I said I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of its branches. Let now your breasts be like clusters of divine, the fragrance of your breath like apples.
And the roof of your mouth, like the best wine, the wine goes down smoothly from my beloved, moving gently the lips of slippers.
I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. I'll read the rest. Come, my beloved, let us go into the country. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us rise and go to the vineyards. Let us see whether the vine have budded and its blossom have opened, and whether the pomegranate has bloomed. That I will give you my love. The mandrakes has gone forth fragrance. And over our doors are all choicest fruits, both new and old, which I have saved up for you, my beloved. Okay? By the way, reading this, in the context is discussion between who? A man and a woman, okay? If you look in verses 1 to 9, it's the man that's speaking, okay? Because just how he describes the person is that he likes his feminine, okay? And then the woman speaks in verses 10 to, what, 13, okay? I actually believe in this context here is they just got married because earlier they've had the Solomon court coming down, and they're now going to their honeymoon, okay? But it's still rated G. For godliness, okay? Because it is, because it's in scripture, okay? But I actually think some people make all kinds of weird allegories and all kinds of like positions and everything else. I don't think so. I think the purpose of Song of Solomon is actually to say this is love, but it's all cloaked. Does that make sense? It's still respectable. It's still there's a curtain being drawn. Does that make sense? And you know they're both in love. Does that make sense? But here, I think, when they communicate with one another, do you think there's a sense they're enjoying one another's discussion? Yes, right? Obviously, it's poetry. Obviously, it's in the scriptures, right? And you know, now some of the things we read, and we're like, what is that, right? Like, gazelles? Like, when we see two deers today, it's not like, you know, it's just like, oh, two deers. Oh, Rebecca and Abigail, let's take a picture. Oh, look at Bambi, right? So I think sometimes we have to update, like, our versions, right? Think of it as two, what? I don't know. You're like, I don't know, pineapple, coconut, boba, slushy, or something like that, okay? That's of their day and age, okay? So this is where you see, in the context, the beauty of the words here reveal their... They do delight each with each other, and they enjoy talking one another with the words that they have, okay? So, have we established from these passages that it is biblical to enjoy each other's each other's company and conversation? Yes, okay? So I would say so. So, as application, do you see the importance of enjoying discussion with your spouse, right? Do you see the importance of that? Sometimes we could be married and we could go through the grind of day-to-day life, you know, paying for the bills. Like, hey, honey, is the bill paid for? Hey, honey, did we get this in the mail? Right? But I think we see, biblically speaking, is we need to see the importance of enjoying discussion with our spouse, okay? Secondly, do you actually not only believe it's important, but do you actually enjoy talking to your spouse? Okay? We're going to go over later on the symptoms of the problem when we don't, okay? Thirdly, do you talk to your spouse about what interests them, okay? Remember what we talked about, it's not just enough to just say I enjoy talking about your spouse, and it's a one-way monologue, right? You talk about you, yourself, and everything else, and you're, oh, I'm so tired about talking to myself. I'm going to let you talk. What do you think about me, right? That's like really weird, okay? So do you enjoy talking to your spouse about what interests them, okay? It comes down to the issue of loving your spouse. But why should we love our spouse? Ultimately is, of course, we know we are not perfect, right? We're not perfect. We are all sinners, okay? But why do we still love our spouse so much to talk about what they want to talk about? Is because of the gospel, right? Because he loved us so much, he died for us, and therefore we're moved to want to be able to, right? Now, before my life, gardening is not one of those things that interests me, you know? Like, it's just gardening, okay? But as a result of being married, when Nancy tells me about the garden, about the lavender, am I interested? Yes. I'm suddenly interested. In, hey, which plant that you plant actually drives away the mosquito? Now, maybe there's an ulterior motive with that, right? But there's all of this, okay? So there is a sense where you enjoy all of that. Suddenly, I'm actually teaching my girls. I was like, hey, I want to know more about garden. How does flowers even, you know, plants and everything work? And all of a sudden, I feel like I'm taken back to, like, first grade all over again, right, with all that. But we enjoy that because of our love for our, what, spouse. So when Nancy's talking about her orchard, or how do you pronounce it? Orchids. Yeah, orchard. You know, sorry, I kept pronouncing. I just read, okay? So then all this, it becomes interesting because what? Because of love. Does that make sense? Okay? So let's go to point number two, okay? I think we left off with a good question for the last point. Do you actually enjoy talking to your spouse about what interests them? So let's go to point number two. Is we're going to go over symptoms of not enjoying discussion with your spouse, okay? First and foremost, the most obvious one is you don't even talk to your spouse at all, okay? That's the most obvious point, right? It's like, okay, you obviously do not enjoy talking to your spouse, okay? By the way, these are things we need to watch out for, okay? How many times have we heard people in the world, sometimes people could say that their parents, man, when they were married, I heard from my grandparents, they loved each other. They couldn't keep their hands away from each other. They were like the perfect one. Look at the picture, Jimmy. Look right here. Isn't this like, you know, marriage made in prom? It's like, nah, marriage I never made in prom, except for very few, right? But other than that, you're like, okay, but how did it get so cold? How did it get so cold to the point that they're not longer talking to each other? I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what are the symptoms, okay? Point number one, you don't talk to your spouse. That's first symptom. Second is you give only one word or short answers that don't lead to conversations, right? This is when things like, let's just say Nancy comes up to me and says, how was your day? Oh, it was all right. And she's sitting there and is like waiting. So, okay, well, what else happened? Oh, nothing much. The same old usual. Don't you know? And I was like, yeah, but how's your day? That just kills conversation, right? One word answer or answer in such a way that just kills the conversation, okay? So sometimes that's a symptom, okay? By the way, I do think sometimes some of these things are, sometimes people struggle generally of having a discussion, right? Sometimes people, but then if you see all of this being the case, I think that's when you have to say, okay, we have to really check our hearts, okay? whether or not we really enjoy talking to our spouse. Point number three, you don't listen. Remember last month, we focused a whole session on not listening, okay, which is the foundation for that. You don't listen, okay? The wife is talking and you're busy on the phone, right? Oh, you're scrolling down. You're laughing, but it was not her punchline yet, right? You were just reading someone else's punchline, okay? You have a serious problem of not remembering what you talked about with your spouse. This is where you're talking, but you're trying your best, but then, like, the next day, you don't remember what was it she told you that was important for her, right? Or vice versa, for him also as well, okay? Point number five, you display the deeds of darkness when you talk with your spouse, okay? You guys know what the deeds of darkness, the fruit of darkness is? It's the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, okay? I'll just read Galatians 5:19-22. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Again, this is Galatians 5:19-22. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of angers, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when you do talk to your spouse, one of the symptoms you know you're not enjoying it is you start having strife, okay? You're arguing. Does that mean you're enjoying the conversation? Obviously not, okay? Or there's outbursts of anger. Obviously, that's a very clear symptom. You're not enjoying the conversation, right? Or also disputes and dissensions, okay? There's envying and all of that, okay? That's a fruit of, like, okay, you're not fulfilling your obligation, according to Scripture, to be able to enjoy actually communicating with your spouse, okay? So those are any other things you guys can list that I could think of?
Antagonizing your spouse.
Okay, that's a good example, right? Where do you see this example? No, okay. Right. So yeah, right, you're saying things to antagonize, right? Like polemical. Okay, yeah. Oh yeah, we see this all the time with our little ones, right? We shouldn't throw them on the bus. But you get the idea,
sorry,
right?
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's good. I shouldn't have asked that.
That's
my fault. Yeah, yeah, I know. That's where I messed up. So with all that is to say that is, that's, you know, you say things, maybe you do communicate, but everything you say is what? It's a minefield, right? It's like, man, you're stepping on it, and it's going to explode. It's going to become an outburst, okay? Everything is meant to hurt or to wound, okay? That becomes where you know you're not enjoying the conversation. You might enjoy the monologue of hurting someone, but that's not enjoying your spouse in conversation in a godly manner, okay? Let's go to point number three. What to talk to your spouse about, okay? I think I need to reword that, okay? So what do you talk to your spouse about, okay? Like I said, sometimes men have asked me, what do I talk to my wife about? But more like single guys have asked me this, okay? Like over the years, okay, they've just asked, hey, what? So these are 10 lists of things. This is from a book, okay? I have it footnoted, okay? So I didn't come up with this. Biblical doctrines. You guys know what I mean about biblical doctrines? What is biblical doctrines? What are biblical doctrines? Doctrines that come from the Bible. What is a doctrine? It's teachings from Scripture, okay? So I'm not talking about, like, advanced crazy theology. I'm not talking about extra-Calvinisticism or anything weird like that, okay? I'm just talking about the Word of God. And what does the Word of God teach? This is helpful for everything in life, okay? By the way, I think good doctrine is helpful for life. Because why? It's good doctrine that makes you say, I love God so much, He's so beautiful, and He's the most easiest being to love more than anyone else. You guys realize the most easiest person to love is who? It's God, okay? I remember I asked this question in the States when there was a few months ago. I asked this question in our own church, and then I also asked a question in Nepal. And it was like two different answers, okay? The answer in America was like ourselves, right? When I went to Nepal, they're like, oh, our mom, she gave us life and she almost died. And all the answer was like, it was like, wow, that's pretty good. And I was like, wow, the answer is so much more spiritual, okay? But in some sense, I would even say the answer is the most easy person to love is God. He's never wronged against us, and He's done everything. When we don't love God, it's because of our, what, sinfulness, okay? By the way, there's times where we probably don't love ourselves, right? Because of what? We see our own sin, and we're like, oh, I can't believe that. We have regret and everything else in light of that, okay? So in light of this, what do you talk about is doctrine, okay? 1 Timothy 4:16. First Timothy 4:16. If I could have, if I could have Eric read that for me, is that okay? First Timothy 4:16. Yeah, you can read from there.
Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure protection for both yourself and for those who hear you.
Yes, okay, thank you so much. Notice it says that we have to pay attention to what? Both life and doctrine, okay? If you only have doctrine, good doctrine and no Christian life, what does that make you? A legalist, a Pharisee, right? A hypocrite, really. If you have all life but no doctrine, eventually your life will not be godly too, because what? Bad doctrines, good doctrines always motivate us to obey and love the Lord and do the hard things, like staying in marriage even during difficult times, right? So I think that's something to talk about, okay? So do you and your spouse talk about God and the things of God and the Word of God, right? Also your home. While we don't want to focus on a physical home, because we have an eternal home, I think that's one thing to discuss about, because why? Home life is what? Is where a lot of things takes place, at home, right? Children are being raised at home, yes? Things happen at home, right? Good things. Home is also a place of ministry sometimes, right? You invite people in hospitality and invite people over for lunch, dinner, or breakfast, whatever, things like that, okay? So do you guys discuss about it? That's one thing to discuss about, okay? Condition of home. Would your spouse be interested? Yes, because they have a vested interest. Because why? They live there, right? Obviously, okay? Your children, okay? Your children. By the way, wouldn't it be so sad if you guys actually talk about the home more than about your children? That would be having our priority wrong of what is the most treasured thing we have, okay? Ephesians 6:4. Could I have... sorry, you have a baby. Okay, thank you so much. Ephesians 6:4.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Yeah, so father has a responsibility to parent. I miswrote the bad English there. Father's responsibility is to be a parent and raise their kids, right? As mentioned here. But this also includes moms, right? Moms are involved with parenting as well. So if husband and wives are parenting together, should they work together as a team? Yes. And team was what? Communicate, yes? So husband and wives, they should discuss about raising their kids. If they're raising to the Lord, they would discuss that, because that's an important responsibility. By the way, I think for us, our biggest responsibility we have in this world, if you're married with kids, is what? Is actually with kids, okay? Is the responsibility of the church bigger for myself? Yeah, it's important, but I would actually say the first biggest responsibility for my life is not even the church. It's actually how am I leading my wife, shepherding her, and also my little girls, right? Because that's a really big responsibility, okay? That's a really big responsibility. You realize once you have a child, you spark an eternal being that's going to live forever for eternity, whether for heaven or hell, right? That can get real dark real quick, but at the same time, we have a responsibility to raise them unto the Lord with joy. Okay, so in light of this, do you guys discuss about the following about your kids together, right? Their strengths. Do you know your children's strengths? Have you ever talked to your spouse about their strengths? And about their weakness? Okay, by the way, strength is important too. Sometimes we talk about only their weakness. The person is bad in math, okay? But there's other things also as well in life besides math, okay? Weaknesses, needs, okay? Their needs, their desires, the responsibility, their instruction option, like instructing them and how to go about different tools of instructing them, right? Or discipline, okay? There sometimes comes a point where kids, you spank, but there comes a point when they're older where now it changes, right? You guys talk about that, okay? So that's important to discuss about, okay? Other things to talk about is your, what, jobs, okay? Both being a mother, even if staying at home, that is a, what? That is a full-time job, okay? Both your jobs, you guys talk about that. You guys talk about even spouse's family, your in-laws. Now, when I say discuss, I'm not saying gossip, okay? Can I say this, okay? But you guys discuss. You guys even discuss and even pray with that, okay? Or spouse's friends, okay? You know, Nancy knows my friends, right? But do you guys even know about that and even share with each other about that, okay? spouse's ministries, okay? This is, I'm talking about both inside and outside the home, right? Obviously, I do want my kids to know the Lord. Whenever I'm home, if I'm not doing ministry, I'm always going to be reading to them at night, right? Talking with them, asking them questions. But we also talk about that. Hey, what are you reading with the girls right now? That kind of thing, okay? Ministries outside the home too, right? Like, hey, how is that you're doing with teaching the kids on Sunday morning? Or how is it with leading worship going on? Anything I could pray for? How's that going with everything? Is there anything I could help you? That kind of thing. Does that make sense? Or teaching. Or how is it you ministering with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Okay? Then spouse's future goals. Goals for the future, right? Goals for the future. My goal in the future is I hope before I'm 40 years old, I really want to just minister to everything that breathes, okay? The more crazier, the more experience, right? It's okay, okay? So when you go to Nepal or other countries, like, hey, why should we have you minister? Well, I killed some bears in El Monte, okay? So, you know, and lions, does that make sense? All of that, okay? So all that, and then by the time 40 onwards, I really want to be able to disciple men, to disciple pastors, okay? And 60, maybe write a book, okay? And then die. Like, go to heaven, that kind of thing, okay? So that's where I think that's important, okay? I think that's very important to have a goal, to talk about that, okay? Do you guys talk about that? Also, do you guys talk about, like, ways your spouse can be a better spouse or parent? Some of us never discuss this because of fear of man, right? So, oh, if I bring this up, I don't want to fight, and I want to have good conversation where they're happy, right? And then some of us would really love this. Is like, yeah, and you always bring it up. It's always when it's talking about, hey, everything's your fault, okay? So these are things to what? Work upon, right? For discussions, okay? Things also, I think, is important to talk about things which bother your spouse, okay? Saying, how's your day? And the answer sometimes, if it says, oh, it's good, it's saying, are there things that you've been anxious for throughout your day? Do you know what they are? Okay, if you don't, I think it's good to communicate, okay? But to discuss, to interpret it biblically, to encourage, to listen, and even to share in such a way so as to encourage them to continue on with their fight and in their trials and tribulations, okay? So these are the things to discuss about. I think probably they could add more, but you can at least kind of get an idea. Because I think that sometimes if we don't think about what we're talking about, I think sometimes when we talk about communication, a lot of times if you listen to so many sermons, it's always talking about how do you talk. But I think it's also important to talk about what do we talk about, okay? What do we talk about also as well, okay? If how do we talk is being nice while we're talking about, I don't know, something ungodly, then that's not defeating the thing. But I think it's also what we talk about shapes how we talk also as well, okay? Does that make sense? If we're talking about the Lord, that's going to impact how we communicate in other areas of life also as well, okay? Both physical and verbal communication, okay? Obviously, communication is more than, for those that are married, right? It's more than just, well, mouths, okay? It's also physical intimacy, yes? By the way, physical intimacy, I always think it's the tip of the iceberg, right? It's often other things before the physical part. It's how do you communicate before intercourse is discourse, okay? Yes? It's how do you talk to your spouse, okay? I know we have this little ear, but I have to say that little rhyme, Diddy, okay? But all that is to say that that's important, okay? It's important to show love in how you communicate with that. That leads to things, okay? In terms of just both of you guys serving each other with that. Okay, so these are things to talk about. So let's go to point number 4. Now if you guys have your papers out, okay? By the way, the purpose I want to do the paper thing, I hope it doesn't sound harsh about writing your name. My main thing is just that it's a tool to work on your communication with things, okay? So write number 1, so 4 questions, okay? So number 1 is, and you guys can use the back too if that needed, okay? Number 1 is, what do you enjoy talking about, okay? What do you guys enjoy talking about, okay? I'm not talking about what your wife thinks you enjoy talking about. I'm talking about you yourself. Like, what do you actually like talking about with your spouse, okay? Or would like to, if it doesn't happen to you, but also, what do you enjoy talking about, okay? Write things down. This one should be easy, okay? This one is about what you like, okay, right? It's easy, okay? And it's not just one answer, it's just write things, okay? So today's paper...
Nancy, can I borrow a pencil? Okay. I didn't realize that.
No,
can I borrow
a pencil? No, I have another pencil box. Oh,
yeah, we have pencil box.
Mama has to write something.
That's a good thing about doing this at home, right? Yes.
Careful, don't poke me in the eye.
Okay.
Wendy, you always have my same fear. I'm always so afraid
at
home.
No, I hate pencils. They always scare me.
I know.
I don't know why I don't think the same thing with pens.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's go on. So question number one is, what do you enjoy talking about? Okay. Are you guys done or are you guys still writing? Like, what do you enjoy talking about? If you need help, you can look at the outline. just a brainstorm, okay? To help you brainstorm what you really do. Okay? If you're listing everything exactly 1 to 10, like what I said, then that gets kind of suspicious, okay? Should we move on? Or you need who needs a little more time? Yeah, what you yourself. No, what you yourself. So if I'm writing this down, what I like talking about, Marine Corps, God, that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Country.
God, country, Corps. Just an example, okay? Believe it or not, I do not, do I? We'll talk about it later, okay. Question number two is, what do you think your spouse enjoy talking about? What do you think your spouse enjoys talking about, okay?
Oh,
I think I should do this too. What am I doing?
Tell me what to write. I'll help you. Tell me what to write.
So point number two is, what does your spouse enjoy talking about? So you're going to write what you think, okay?
What she doesn't like talking about.
Okay, number two is... So again, number two is, what does your spouse enjoy talking about? What does your significant other enjoy talking about, I should say? Okay, let me phrase that.
So, spreading things.
Writing
things. You have to be specific. Everyone.
Oh, by the way, the goal is this, okay?
Things.
Okay? Okay, so point number three. Hey, by the way, if you're perfect, if everything agrees, that gets scary. I think there might be a tyrannical relationship right there, okay? So it's not going to be everything, it's going to be exact, okay? But I think it's a growing thing. See this as a joyful thing, okay? To find out, to learn from each other, okay?
So tired, baby.
Question number three, what do you wish you can talk to your spouse more about? Okay? What do you want to talk to your spouse more about? Okay? What do you wish you can talk to your spouse more about? Okay? By the way, I think these are good things from time to time to actually ask each other. Like, hey, let's do this outline thingy. That weird thing Jimmy did one time? Yeah, let's do this again. Right? I think it's helpful. Maybe, hopefully. Okay. And question number four. Question number four is, what does your spouse wish to talk to you more about? So you're going to write, what do you think your spouse wish to talk to you more about? Okay. So question number three is, what do you yourself wish you could talk to your spouse more about? By the way, when you write more, it doesn't mean like you're not talking at all, okay? Please don't read into that and say, it's just wish you could talk more about. Does that make sense? Okay?
Number four is what your spouse wishes.
What do you think, yeah, your spouse wishes you talk, you guys would discuss more about? Okay? I think it's good, so, I think, so of all this, what you guys have wrote down, I think it's, like, it just, yeah.
I know, what are you writing?
So writing all this, I think, by the way, it's good to, compare and contrast each other's answer, okay? For instance, you look at your number one, and your, and her number, or your spouse's number two, and see if it matches, right? What it is that they wish to enjoy, okay? Sometimes it's a pleasant surprise. Oh, yeah, I do enjoy talking about that. That's a good thing you notice. Sometimes, okay, I did not know, okay? So I think it's good to, are there things that overlap, okay? It's important to look through and ask the question, are there things that overlap? And asking, even asking the question, did you correctly identify what your spouse enjoyed talking about? And also vice versa. Did your spouse correctly identify what you're interested in talking about? In general.
We're done.
You know, why don't you guys, so I think these are, let me finish writing first, okay? Saying this, okay? And also I think it helps just so you know, okay? This I think is a good tool just to know, like, oh, okay, I did not know. My wife really enjoyed these discussions and she want this more. And yeah, that's a good thing, okay? Or vice versa, okay? And then you can focus also on asking the question, what can you could improve upon? And also think it's worthy to, after looking at all this, to pray one another. I know...